gifts to the humble. So I ask you, God, to do a deep work in my heart and break me. Break me of my pride. Break me of my selfishness. Break me of anything that keeps me from knowing you. As hard as it is to ask, God, do whatever it takes to break me.
I had one of those last week, but I was so anxious for this series to begin that I didn't pause long enough for Amy to play that. This is part two of this series that we're calling Dangerous Prayers. And as I asked last week or said last week, that maybe in these next 3 weeks, one of these weeks is going to speak out to you a little bit more strongly than the other weeks. And I'm calling that like an anchor message. That's going to be the message that just you hold on to as an anchor in your life. And so last week I talked about God searching you, searching what your heart is, searching where you are in life and looking for what fears you have and what sins you have. And then asking God to send you in these things. Today I'm going to talk about this prayer, this powerful prayer of asking God to break you, to break me, to break the things in our life that are holding us back or holding us down. And then next week I'm going to talk about this prayer of having God send us. So last week, over the last week, I had a few of you come up to me and say, boy, this message you gave Sunday, that was my anchor message. And my fear is that some of you might not be really paying attention to the next couple of weeks because you already had that anchor message. And maybe I have this fear because this message today is a really tough message to preach, and it's a tough message to hear, asking God to break us. See, last week our main scripture that we had was Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. David wrote, "Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any offensive way in me. Then lead me on the eternal path." So after asking God to search us, if we prayed that prayer all week, we know where our failures are. We know when we're honest with ourselves the things in our life that need to be broken. So here's kind of a warning today. This message is not one of those feel-good messages. It's not one of those messages that we're going to walk out of here going, yeah, I'm doing pretty good in life. This is a message that is difficult because I'm going to ask you to really search deep in your hearts and your souls to find out what needs to be broken. Where are we falling short of where God's wanting us to be? What is this thing that we need to ask God to break us of? So this is a dangerous prayer because when we ask God to break us of something, God's going to do it. And most likely what we're asking God to break us of is something that we kind of enjoy. It's a feel-good worldly thing that we know that God needs to break us of this. So today, I'm going to ask you, imagine, what would your life be like if God were to break you of one thing? That one thing that you know might need to change. What would your life be like if God were to break you of something that's holding you back? Maybe you don't even realize how much this is holding you back. So I'm going to share with you two stories today, and they're both in the book of Mark, though I'm going to look at what Luke says about one of them too. They come right after one another, and the first one I just read to you, and it's a story about this prostitute. And she comes into Jesus' life and gets really close to him. And she's full of shame. She's full of disgust. She's full of being hated by other women, by being abused by other men. She knows the sins of her life. She knows where she falls short, where her weaknesses are. But yet she has the strength to go to Jesus. She has the strength to get right up next to him, to touch him, to have this relationship with him. And what Jesus does is he shows her honor and respect and dignity. He allows his love to pour into her life. Look again with me at Mark chapter 14, verse 3. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper. Now, a leper. A leper is one of those people with the skin diseases. Nobody wants to go near this guy. Simon knows what needs to be broken in his life, and there's nothing that he can do about it because it's this thing on the outside that make people afraid of him. So Jesus wasn't afraid. Jesus went right to Simon the leper, and in comes this woman, this prostitute woman. She came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Now, this perfume is extremely valuable. This perfume was like a year's worth of wages. And women didn't wear perfume back then. Women, ladies, how many of you put perfume on this morning? At this time, the only women that wore perfume were the prostitutes. I put on cologne today. You're not alone. This was very expensive. Women weren't extravagant. Yes, you did something extravagant this morning. They didn't waste money on perfume except for the prostitutes, and they did it because this was a part of their business. They wanted to smell nice so that the men were attracted. All the women's arms went up. Your husbands sitting next to you are going, yeah, she put on perfume. That's a good thing. She did it to draw in business. So she's taking this very expensive, valuable thing for her, breaking it open. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. The symbolism here. She broke that jar. She broke this thing that was the sin of her life, that represented that she had that because she was being set apart in a bad way. She broke that and she poured it out. How many of you pour out your heart in prayer? Especially when we're praying for things that need to be broken. So some people freaked out about this. And they said, why is she wasting this? We could have sold that and bought some great things. We could have bought ourselves a big burger and ate well tonight. Now, there's a lot of preachers that preach about this message. Just if you've been in church more than a few times, this isn't the first time that you've heard this message. And all of us high and mighty pastors, we preach this message. How horrible for those people to say that, you know, they could have sold this money, they could have done good. We know where their hearts were. They wanted a big cheeseburger. They didn't care about the poor. We preach that. I'm sorry, if I'm honest with myself, if I was there, I'd have been one of those people going, why are you wasting this? What she's doing is she's saying, Jesus, I need this broken. And I'm willing to break this for you. She's symbolically pouring out her life sin to Jesus. She's saying, you can have it all. Take it. All I have, all I am, I'm pouring it out to you. I'm giving it to you. So her gift represents a couple things. Her gift represents her past. She's leaving her past behind because this thing was a part of her past. This perfume that she would put on her body, that's the past life. She's going to pour it out. There's going to be a change. Walk away from the past. But she's also, her gift represents her future. Because she just poured out this very expensive thing. Now she can't have it on her own body. Because she gave it to Jesus. She broke it. She poured it out for him. She's saying, take my future. This isn't my future path anymore. I'm going to take this path that I think you want me to be on. Did you catch in the scripture? She didn't just pour out part of it. She didn't come, I mean, how many of you women poured the whole jar on you? I don't think any of you did. I would have seen you coming in as soon as you got out of the car, or smelled you coming in. You all know people that do that, right? They pour a jar on themselves, and you know that their arrival is here before the door even opens sometime. Your scent is supposed to follow you into the room, not your... That's the way I was taught anyway. So she poured it all out to Jesus. She didn't hold any of it back. She didn't save a few drops just in case she had to go to work next week. She gave it all to Christ. She said, I'm breaking it. I'm breaking the sin, and I'm going to give it all to you. There's a lesson to be learned there, isn't there? The second story. It's very close to the first one. It's also found in Mark chapter 14, just several verses later in verses 22 through 24. As they, the disciples, were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take it, for this is my body. And he gave a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them. And then they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people, which is poured out as a sacrifice for many. Broken and poured out. The body broken. The blood poured out. The canister broken. The perfume poured out. My sins are broken, so love can be poured out. Jesus, break something in me, because there's something that needs to be poured out. Folks, that's the beauty of coming to church. That's the beauty of this country, where we have freedom to come to church and praise God and worship the way that feels right in our hearts, because God fills us with something good from him so that it can be poured out. But sometimes something in us has to be broken first. So Luke, he picked up on something else in this message. It's the same thing that Mark shared here, but Luke picked up on this. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this. Break it. Pour it out. Do this. Live a life of brokenness, so that God has greater purpose in your life. To me, that's a command. Do this. I really struggled the last couple weeks knowing that I was going to preach this scripture. You know, we Methodists, we do communion on the first of the month, and well, we can do it any time. We just get locked into this thing. And it's so difficult for me because I'm preaching the scripture, and I want to do communion. And I want to do communion because part of communion is breaking something and taking a part of Christ in us so that we can pour it out. Y'all know, I think that communion is like the most powerful thing that we do as a Christian and as a church, and so I would love to take communion more. I don't like being locked into the first Sunday of the month. I want to do it when I want to do it. And so I was going to do communion this week, all the way up until Monday when I sent Melissa in the sermon stuff, and I didn't tell her to do communion because I realized that as important as communion is to me and as powerful as it is, maybe this is something different. Maybe the scripture that we always relate to being a part of the communion service, there's something different. There's a different purpose for us, so we're not going to do communion today. We'll do it in a couple weeks still, I'm sure. But do this is more than just breaking bread and having juice the first Sunday of the month. Break something in your life. Do this. Pour out your life to Christ. Pour out your life to others. Maybe that's something that needs to be emphasized in our lives more than just taking bread and juice in remembrance of Jesus doing those things. Maybe we need to do this in remembrance of Jesus, this giving him our sins, this breaking what needs to be broken in our lives so that we can be transformed into the people that Christ wants us to be. Maybe we need to do this each and every day, each and every prayer, each and every moment. If we live a life of brokenness, we allow God to have greater purpose. Because that thing that needed to be broken, it's not holding us back. It's creating a space that Christ's love can come into our lives. We need to live as Jesus lived and love to Jesus. Live as Jesus lived and love as Jesus loved. And make that so that it's not just this ritual. Make it so that it's not just this little catchphrase thing that we say, but have it be an act of our life. So we need to be broken and fully depend on God in our brokenness. Have you been broken before? I mean, deep hurt, pain, brokenness. Not knowing what you can do next. Maybe contemplating suicide, running away from it all. And a lot of people go through that. And if you're a Christian, in your brokenness is when you get a new sense of Christ in your life. Because when we get broken down so far and we can't take another breath, Jesus takes that breath for us. We need to be broken and allow Christ's love to pour out in our brokenness. And that seems so countercultural to me. That's why this message is so difficult for me. Because I want to give you this message of strength, of happy love, and we're going to go out and... But life's not always that way. And so it's difficult because so often we look towards other people for our, heroes in life. We never look for the weak person to be our hero. We always look for the strongest person that we can see, right? If you get wrestling fans out there, WWE or something, I don't really watch or follow wrestling, but, those are big guys. And I remember when I was a teenager, I was watching wrestling. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a big dude like that. I mean, I'm 6'3", so I got the height going and arms, and so, I had a weight that I bought, and they're in the basement, so I went down and I lifted weights for, a half hour or something until I couldn't possibly lift anymore, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a hulking dude now, and I woke up and the next day, and I didn't look any different. I forget that. I don't need to keep doing that. We look for these strong-looking, impressive people. Those are our heroes in life. We never watch baseball and find the mediocre hitter and say, yeah, that's the guy I want to be like. And I remember when I was playing hockey, my hero in life, and I've instilled it in Zach for sports, was Steve Yzerman of the Red Wings. I mean, the captain. He's known as the captain throughout hockey, throughout most sports, because of his attitude. He wasn't the biggest guy on the ice. He wasn't the fastest guy on the ice. But he was the guy that did the most, always strived to do the best, always wasn't satisfied with not succeeding in anything that he did. And so I looked up to Steve Yzerman for strengths, and I looked up to the greatest defenseman in history, Mike Ramsey. He really was. I mean, he was on the 80 Olympic team. If it wasn't for his greatness, they never would have beat the Russians. And I look for people that have impressive strengths. Look at this saying that I came across this week. We might impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses, through our brokenness. Isn't that true? I mean, we go out in the world and people that are part of our life, those strong people, they impress us. I got a friend, Kevin, that he's a big guy, and he always impresses me. He's one of those guys that has an infectious personality. Like, 2 minutes after somebody meets him, they feel like they've been best friends with him forever. And you know, there's a strength there. But I think the reason that Kevin was such a good friend of mine was because him and I have been broken at times together. We've shared in our weaknesses and bonded, and we've been there for one another. When I struggled before I was a pastor and didn't really know what to do, what direction to go, as I was leaving one church and finding another church after feeling called to be a pastor, I went to Kevin's church. And his strength in my brokenness was what I needed. And it got me through. And it wasn't because Kevin is this big, strong guy. It was because Christ was in his life, filling all of his broken holes. And that's what impresses me about him. We're all impressed by people that are strong. We all see strong people in the world, and we go, boy, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be like that. But it's never a deep connection with those people unless they allow themselves to be broken with us and we allow ourselves to be broken with them, is it? We connect with people when we break down, when we allow them to fill our holes, when we are strong enough to fill theirs. You realize that God made our bodies. And God could have done absolutely anything. We don't have to have ears that stick out from the side of our head. And no, they'll carve with the big ears. That's not me, Tanya. We have parts of our bodies that we don't understand why we have these things. Why five fingers, five toes? We have eyes and ears and nose. When we're in pain, there was absolutely nothing stopping God from allowing tears to come out of our ears or out of our nose or something like that. But they come out of our eyes. Maybe it's because when we're broken and tears are flowing down our face, we need somebody to look us eye to eye. Because when we're broken, we can connect with one another. And when we see each other in each other's eyes, we know what's going on. We know the pain. We know the hurt. We know what we can do and be a part of their life to help in their brokenness. And when we're the ones in tears, isn't that sometimes what we need? We just need to see somebody with us. Knowing we're broken and our tears are pouring out. Maybe God knew that we would need to see eye to eye in our brokenness. I think he did. So life's greatest breakings often lead to God's greatest blessings. You believe that? Remember Peter, the rock Peter, not the wrestling rock Peter, but Peter the disciple? He denied Jesus 3 times. He didn't deny Jesus to the army. He didn't deny Jesus to the big hulking soldier. He denied Jesus to a little girl. He was broken. Broken, broken. And in the midst of his tears, it was when he looked Jesus eye to eye that it was poured out, that he began to feel rebuilt. It was in his deepest, darkest brokenness that Christ came in and transformed his life. He was Peter, the rock, the disciple that asked all the questions that, you know, we read this book and we always, you know, I always say the duh disciples because they have those duh moments. Peter was the one that asked all the duh questions for us so that we can understand. I believe that it was in those tears and brokenness that Peter became the man that Christ intended him to be. God doesn't waste a hurt. When we're fully devoted followers of Christ, we're broken and we're able to share it. That's why at Carlisle Church, that's why we have this mission statement. Our mission statement is this: sharing the love of the Lord like a beacon of light, shining on God's people, guiding them to his side. We're guiding. Not being these strong, hulking people, but being people of love. Being people that are willing to be broken, that don't judge others for their brokenness, but just lovingly guide. See, what makes this topic so difficult is that if you're just partially devoted, you don't get it. If you're just partially in love with Christ, you're not willing and able to ask him to break you. This isn't a message for people that go halfway there. This is a message for people that want to go all the way there and then some. For people that say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a long time. And I have this relationship with God. But when I look in the mirror, I see some stuff that needs to be broken. And some of these things that need to be broken, they feel good. They're not hurting anyone. They're okay, right? But when we really look, when we really ask God to search us, as we did learn last week, then we know that some of the stuff needs to be broken. And so it's for a fully committed Christian to say this prayer of, God, break me from this. Break me from my pride. Break me from the things of this world that I love just a little too much. Break me from myself because I see that myself holds me back so often. Break me from everything that needs to be broken. I mean, if the prostitute woman could pour out everything, she didn't hold back a single drop. So many times, we wear the badge Christian, but we're only partially Christian. Because we're afraid to have these things broken, because they're a part of what we are, who we are. I mean, think of it this way. When Jesus was hung on a cross, his whole body was broken. Mel Gibson's movie might go a little too far in the blood and gore and stuff like that, but it emphasized that all of Jesus was broken. He gave it all. All he had to offer, all he could bear for our sins. He didn't hold any of it back. He poured it all out for us. I mean, this is advanced Christianity stuff. So last week, say the prayer of show me. This week, I challenge you to pray the prayer of God, break me. Whatever fears you pointed out to me last week, break me of those. Whatever sins that I see that are in my life right now, God, break me of those. Wherever I'm afraid that you're going to lead me, break me of that fear. Whatever excuse I can come up with, break me of that excuse. Whatever part of my life I'm holding back that I'm not willing to give, God, break me of that because I want to give you my whole life. The gospel is an invitation for us to come and give everything we have for Christ because he gave everything he had for us. Are you holding something back? Then ask God to break it. Say, God, take my life. Take my will. Take my soul. Take my heart. I give it all to you. Pray with me. Holy Lord, holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord of power and might, the world is full of your glory. God, we come here today to give you the glory. We come together today to give you our lives. God, we know all of us are sinners. Each of us makes mistakes. Each of us does things that we know we ought not do. Each of us does things that we're ashamed of. God, we're asking you to break us of these things because we know that these things are holding us back. Lord, it was difficult last week when we were asking you to search us, to show us our fears, to show us our sins, because sometimes we don't want to acknowledge those things. We don't want to see those things in ourselves. We're ashamed of who we are sometimes. But it was good. It was good that you show us these things. It was good that we know where we are in our hearts of yours. It is good. Because now we can ask you to break us. God, these things that you've shown us, break us. Allow us to pour it all out to you, not holding back any drop. I invite you to pray with me if you're at a point in your life that you want to say this prayer. God of glory, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my will. I give you my soul. I give it all to you. I give it all to you. In Christ's name. Amen.